And take your Bibles, your copies of God's Holy Word, and we'll be looking at 2 Timothy, and we'll use chapter 2 and verse 15 for our starting place, but we'll be all through and through at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. We've been looking at a series on discipleship, various topics that the Bible relates concerning the topic or the doctrine of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in part, this is a spin off of and from our studies in the book of Acts, isn't it? Where the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so what is a disciple naturally comes to mind. If you're going to be called a Christian, and a Christian is a disciple, we'd kind of like to know what being a disciple or a follower of Jesus is. And we've looked at that. We've looked at several other aspects. Our security in Christ. We've looked at Christ being the foundation. We've looked at the Word of God. And tonight we're coming to our own personal diligence in Bible study. There is no Christian who should be without the study of God's Holy Word. It is in that that we find our comfort and our strength. So let's hear God's Word in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I read verse 15 to our ears. Please hear God's Word. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. When seeking to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, we learn from Paul's instruction to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And this Timothy was the protege, the one who followed Paul around. We learn of him in the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 16 there, that Timothy was the son of a Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek, is all that we know of his father. It seems that by that indication that Timothy's father was not a believer, but his mother and his grandmother were believers. And we see this being worked out in the next chapter. But in this instruction he gives specifically here to young Timothy with regard to being diligent. Now, just on the surface, this is a good exhortation, isn't it? I don't know too many students who don't need an occasional help to be diligent in their studies, to press them on. Even the most zealous of academicians, those people who love school and thrive on the academic setting, still from time to time need a little helping hand and an encouragement to be diligent in what they're doing. And so it was with Timothy. Timothy was widely known, and he was a man who Paul wanted to follow him and wanted to instruct him, and who received it and who stood firm in the faith with Paul. And yet here we find Paul saying to this young man, diligently present yourself approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Well, tonight we're going to meet with some what I'm going to call preliminary considerations from Bible study from the whole chapter. In our first category, I'll have about three of these main categories, and so you can come up and follow them underneath these. The first is the reasons for Bible study given. There's some reasons. Paul condescends to us and to our needs and says, I'm going to give you reason why you should study the Bible. Now, God could have just said, that's it, do it, it's all done, and you got that. And we also are supposed to say, yes. But he, through his apostle, gives us reasons he wants us to understand. And the very first I'm giving to you is from verse 1. Bible study in this context is not only recommended, it is essential. And I'm going to add this caveat here, especially for the minister of Jesus Christ. We minister in his name. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We minister in his name. So the very first reason here in this context is that it's essential to be strong. And the only way to be strong in this grace is to be exposed to it and to be exposed to the activity, to be exposed to the workouts that Paul is going to give his young protege, Timothy. Well, the second reason given for Bible study here, we find, is the study to be strong in the grace. It's the strength aspect that he's drawing out. Again, verse 1, the direct exhortation to be strong in the grace. This is not an optional thing for a minister, for one who is preaching the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. He's not to be weak in it. He's to be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of such passages here as Ephesians chapter 6. And where we find there at the beginning and the outset of that armor that is given the people of God, that the very first exhortation is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, it doesn't mean, this isn't the exhortation for us to go out and boast about our Scripture knowledge, to boast about how many Scriptures we've memorized, or to go out and try to do some great exploits in the strength of our own wisdom and power. This is to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you be strong in something that is given by someone else and is actually the property of someone else? It's a gift of Christ to us. Well, the very first thing you have to do is have faith in that gift that God is giving, trusting that what God gives is wise and right, and to be strong in the Lord. I think of another illustration coming from the Old Testament. You remember, don't you, young people? You remember how that when the baton of authority and leadership was passed from the generation of Moses. Now, Moses was the man of God. He went up to the mountain of God. He was there exposed to the glory, so much so that when he came down, he had to wear the veil so people wouldn't get blinded looking at his face. And